All attendees are in listen-only mode.
Morning.
Good morning, good morning. Please take a seat, everybody. Thank you. Thank you. Good morning and happy first day of session. Great to see you. And also for many, since it's our first time gathering since the new year, happy new year to everybody. I hope you had a wonderful and a restful and a relaxing new year. I'm going to spend a few moments about session, and be not just an important but also a very direction setting session for the people of this state. You know, we are about what we inherited and what situation we're walking in. You know, we're clear about the fact that, you know, we have inherited this this fiscal crisis. It's inherited the fact that there is a long-standing multi-billion-dollar structural deficit, that even billions of dollars of federal COVID goes over, the fact that there's a business model problem. The thing that I want the people of this state to know is that my for it is going has not one iota. And the reason is because this was a crisis that we inherited. And I think about been able to do collectively as a state just in the first couple of years, despite the fact that we had a fiscal crisis, that this state collectively has been able to work together to address issues of public safety. And now not only helping to break the back of this scourge and the rise in violent crime that we've seen in Baltimore and across the state of Maryland, that we're now in two straight years of some of the steepest drops in violent crime in the entire country. And not just Baltimore, but the state of Maryland. That when we were first brought on board, that Maryland in the country in unemployment. And now, because of the collective work of our now, it's going on 15 straight months of amongst the lowest unemployment rates in the entire country. That you know, we walked in with one of the largest and most tragic maritime tragedies in our country's history taking place during our. That the four objectives that we've laid out about making sure that the families were cared for and comforted, making sure that we reopened the federal channel, making sure that we could make sure all the people impacted were supported, to include our poor workers. And now we are going into this year with construct that is going to be 100% cost shared by the federal government. That while this tragedy happened during our time, we will rebuild the key bridge on our watch. And so when people say, what the optimism despite a fiscal forecast, my answer is that we inherit already. In this moment, we are going to be fine, because at the end of the session, we will have a balanced budget that truly underlines and underscores aspirations and dreams of the state, and focuses on to grow our economy, making Maryland more business friendly and growing out the working class Marylanders, middle class Marylanders, that we will be able to continue this momentum of keeping our community safe. We will be able to have the best public schools in the entire country, full stop. That's the aspiration, that's the goal. And so we're incredibly grateful for our partners work to be able to work and make that happen. With that, before I move on, I want to turn over to the Trek. Also for some sports as well.
Good morning, everybody in here. I just take just a few short moments to recognize a couple. First of all, former Senator Warren passed recently. So, who've been around a little while, Senator Colburn. I think he was first elected to the House of Delegates in 1983, and I believe his tenure lasted through 2014 or 2010, right around that time. Senator Colburn was not a flashy senator or anything like that, but he was an advocate for our farmers, for our watermen. He represented District 37, I believe, down on the Eastern Shore. I got to know him sort of by chance, you know, just sort of being down here, and he was always very nice. He was never partisan, at least I never encountered any partisanship. Just a really nice guy, will be missed, and certainly I to his family. another that also we recently lost, Murray. He did a single in the early 2000s, Charles County. I think he's best remembered for his work on as a county commissioner and with PICO. That's where he really made his name. He came to Annapolis and quickly became a fiscal expert. But more than that, funny guy, great humor. Again, just a really nice guy. Like I said, he stayed a single term, but he made a quick impact. And then finally, while Chaz, the General Assembly, and has been elevated to Baltimore County Executive, Kathy Klausmeier, Senator Klausmeier. Kathy and I just thought about, wanted to mention her. She and I came in 30 years ago today. We were both have been celebrating 30 years of public service. We were assigned both Environmental Matters Committee and stayed 8 years there before she was elevated in the 22 election to state senator. I don't have to tell you all about Senator Klausmeier. I'm sure you all know her, just a wonderful person, very nice, hardworking. She sort of made a name for herself working with those, the visually impaired. That was one of her soft spots, but just a really nice lady, and I'm happier for her. Well, actually, I admit that but because she wanted, I was excited. I know she do well during her tenure there and wishes. So thank you all for giving me to have a few moments to for the two colleagues and the one colleague that going, I can't say the greener past, have moved on to other past. And I'm sure she's going to do just well at Baltimore County, and we're her presence here in Annapolis. So Governor, thank you very much.
Thank you, Treasurer. Thank you. And here on all. We're very excited to work with County Executive Klausmeier and have her continue her outstanding service to the people of the state. And you're right, to Senator Moore and also Delegate Levy and to their families, deepest condolences, not from us and from the body, but from the entire state. And may Senator Coburn and Delegate Levy may they rest in peace. With that, we'll go ahead and begin the business of the. Mr. Secretary, good to see you. Good morning.
Good to see you, Governor. Good morning and Happy New Year. Good morning and Happy New Year to you, Madam Comptroller and Mr. Treasurer. There are 19 items on the Secretary's and one report of emergency procurement. Request the Department of Human Services. I'm withdrawing 18. The request is stated with the item 15, leaving 16 items in the one emergency procurement agenda this morning. I'm happy to assist answering any questions.
Great, thank you. So I start by calling up two items. The first is item 11, which is a request from the Department of Planning and Maryland Historical Trust to $1 million grant, and that's through the African American Heritage Preservation Program. The African American Heritage Preservation Program focuses on identifying objects that are buildings and monuments or communities that that share the unique history of Black Marylanders. And this year, the program will award 21 projects in across 18 regions. And through that and program, we're supporting historic sites like the Frederick Douglass Summer House, which will receive $106,000 through this program. This home that was built in 1894 for Frederick Douglass, and it overlooks his birthplace over in the. Now, one of the things I find amazing about this project is Frederick Douglass never lived to actually see the completion of this. The summer house still remains one of the oldest that's over in Highland Beach, which was founded in 1893 in American municipality. But among of this area in Highland Beach was none other than Douglass, the Frederick Douglass's. This is actually one of the founders of this area, Highland Beach. And today that house is as the Frederick Douglass Museum and Cultural Center to help tell the story of Highland Mission helped tell a story for people who were both the motivation behind it and also the people who helped to found it. And I got a chance to see it because I was there for the 130th anniversary of Highland, and got a chance to tour the museum, which is really spectacular. And I encourage all Marylanders to really go and appreciate the amazing history that that is within our beautiful. Mayor Chazelle and former Frederick Douglass Museum Culture Director Gene Langs, all of the Highland Beach residents on that beautiful day. For Secretary Flora and also Ms. Stacey Montgomery, who are both with us here today. Thank you so much for all the leadership. I'm also really grateful to Director Elizabeth Hughes for their thoughtful considerations of these recipients and for their dedication to memorializing really important pieces of history, things that make our state so special. Times are also forgotten. So to all of you, I just want to say thank you, leadership and the work. I'd also like to call item 13, which is a request from the community, and that's to $35 million bonds to finance capital projects over in Birdland or Camden Yards. These improvements include the construction of centerfield scoreboard, a revamped sound system. For those who attend a lot of Orioles games, as I do, we cannot wait for the revamped sound system. Yes. Yes. and upgrades over at Oriole Park. Replace the that also serves both Oriole Park and M&T for the design and pre-construction services to support these stadium renovations. This is a meaningful one, and the reason I really wanted to call it up, Secretary, is just over a year ago, the board convened a special meeting to approve the lease extension that kept the Orioles at Camden Yards for the next 30 years. That extension allowed the Stadium Authority to issue bonds to support capital improvements over at Oriole Park. And this item is the first bond package for this purpose. And it marks an incredibly important moment for the state's continued partnership with our beloved Baltimore Orioles. During that meeting, our administration made it clear that we would invest in assets like Camden Yards, but also in a way that benefits the people of Baltimore and the people of the state. And the financing plan that's brought by the board today is just yet another renewal of our commitment to support the Renaissance that is very much in place right now. These investments will ensure that Oriole will be the best Major League Baseball, as written by the sports writers last year, as the best ballpark to watch a baseball game, and will help to draw visitors not just from across the state of Maryland, but also. And with that, I'm pleased to turn it over to MSA's director, my friends, to share some remarks on the executive director. It is great to see you and here.
Happy New Year. Thank you, Governor Moore, for those kind words. I'd like to say good morning to Madam Controller Learman and Mr. Treasurer. I can't really say it better than I said it, but you know, yesterday the MSA board approved it, and we hope that today this body will, as you said, it will allow and the Orioles to continue to provide the kind of excellent stadium experience that people have come to expect. The it will allow MSA and the Orioles to proceed to allow the teams to achieve the full schedule that they want to achieve. And as you said, these are the first steps in using the monies allocated by the legislature to modernize the stadiums and allow the teams to best compete both on and off the field and provide the greatest economic impact and job opportunities for Marylanders. We're confident projects at Oriole Park will elicit the same enthusiasm as the projects at M&T Bank Stadium. With respect to this specific transaction, I want to offer kudos to our teams at MSA and the Orioles for their cooperation in planning these projects, and to our finance team, legal teams from the Attorney General's office, and McKinnon, Shipton & Henn, and our public finance consultant, Public Resources Advisory Group, for their expertise in putting forward this financing transaction. This private placement with Rothsay Life as purchaser of capital markets as placement agent was chosen because it offered several advantages. Additional debt financing, competitive long-term fixed rate with call quality allowing for future restructure if necessary based on the option of the existing lease, ease of execution with no need for credit rates or disclosure document, and finally expedited financing allowing for project contract award in early January 2025 because these are long lead times. And if you have questions that are beyond capability, I've asked Don Asher, MSA's chief financial officer, to join us, Phil Hudson, who is the director of capital planning at the Camden Yards. Thank you.
I don't have any questions. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Director. Please extend our thanks to Chair Thompson as well, and your entire outstanding MSA team, and also to David Rubenstein on the Presidential Medal of Freedom as well, which is a big deal watching a Baltimorean get honored in that way. And also, finally, I just actually heard coming in here the news about Brian Metz. It's very, very sad. Please extend on behalf of us to the entire Mattis family as well. Thank you. Is there any further discussion on any of the remainder of the Secretary's agenda?
No.
May I have a motion to approve the Secretary's agenda?
Motion to approve the Secretary's agenda.
And is there a second?
Second.
Outstanding. We'll proceed with the D agenda. Secretary Kurtz, good morning.
Good morning, sir. Good morning, Madam Comptroller, Treasurer. For the record, Josh Kurtz, Secretary of the Department of Natural Resources. The department has two items on our agenda for your consideration today, both of which are improvements. Any questions, if you have it?
Great. Great.
Happy New Year. No.
Motion to approve the DNR agenda.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Outstanding. Thanks, Mr. Secretary. Next up, University System of Maryland, Mr. Hickey, good morning.
Morning, Governor, Mr. Treasurer, Comptroller Tom Hickey, representing University of Maryland. There are items for your consideration, and I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
Outstanding. Thank you so much. Is there any discussion on the U.S. Summer agenda?
No questions. Thank you. Happy New Year.
Is there a motion? USM agenda.
Motion to approve the USM agenda.
And is there a second?
Second.
Outstanding. Thanks so much, Mr. Hickey. We'll proceed with the M agenda. Mr. Donsky, good morning.
Morning, Governor, Madam Comptroller, Mr. Treasurer. My name is Valerie Radonsky, Chief Procurement Officer at the Maryland Department of Transportation. Today we are presenting agenda items for your consideration. We have representatives available to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you so much. I would actually like to call up item 1-8, which is a request from the Maryland Transportation Authority to award a 70-year contract to partnership for engineering consulting and support service to Francis Scott Key Bridge. I wanted to highlight this for a few reasons. You know, one is that Bridging Maryland Partnership is going to be responsible for ensuring that this bridge is built safely, that it's built sustainably, and smoothly, and importantly, as swiftly as possible. And I want to highlight it is this has a very ambitious 31.5% DBE goal. This contract will ensure that the Key Bridge is rebuilt not just swiftly, smoothly, and sustainably, but also ethically. And not just because this is about engineering a bridge. We really are creating ways to access all of lifting small and minority businesses in the process as well. And that there was a lot that got to this moment. And I want to say thank you to you and this entire team, because we saw that March was one of the darkest days in Maryland's history. And you know, we did and continue to mourn the loss of those six Marylanders who we lost in the tragedy. And we saw how that port really shut down. But we really moved together and moved partnership, and the leadership that all continued moving with speed was incredibly important. And that partnership also includes Biden-Harris administration. And the Army Corps of Engineers, despite saying that it would take 11 months to clean the channel, that we were able to collectively get it done in 11 weeks, and it was a big deal. The other deal is seeing our congressional delegation, and all of them, every member, just did remarkable helping to ensure bipartisan support to keep it 100% financed. And through it all, MBTA worked around the clock to make sure that we had key environmental approval, village rebuild, but would not disrupt the community, would not disrupt the natural resources, would not displace any Maryland residents or any Maryland businesses. And the fact that you moved so expeditiously, it wasn't just important, but it gave us a huge sense of confidence in establishing our commitment that we were going to get this done on time, this done on budget. Because you cannot have a fully functioning Port of Baltimore or bridge. And so this contract is closer to restoring a bridge that is used by over 30,000 commuters daily and essential to Baltimore's cultural identity as well. And so I want to turn it over to MBTA Executive Director Bruce Gardner. To Executive Director Gardner, I just want to say the entire state, just how grateful we are for you and your leadership and just the tireless work you've done to help us to recover from this tragedy. So great to see you.
Thank you, Governor, Treasurer, Madam Comptroller. I'd also like to acknowledge the full federal funding and the support that you have given and so many others in the room with the congressional delegation administration. It was quite the personal present for all of us at the MDTA to have that in the budget, that authorization. So, Governor, you presented the item very well. I just want to highlight a few things in addition, 31.5 DBE, but in terms of record speed, I really have to commend my team in procurement and engineering, as well as our partners, you know, throughout state government and I release P and here with an award for an A&E contract to you today. Bridging Maryland Partners is a joint venture of WFP, RK&K, JMT, various firms that can help us do very significant work. This is a long bridge structure. This is not something that MDT staff do today, despite having completed the Nice Middleton Bridge. We need these resources to move ambitiously into all the goals that you have set forth. That partnership will be our representative during the and instruction remains on track. Wide range of services agenda item that we have before you today. They help us manage the progressive design builder, Hewitt, by auditing their processes, reviewing submittals, and confirming design criteria is met. The Key Bridge project, as it moves forward, the design builder is advancing efforts, and the team has been hard at work evaluating both design construction methods that involve some sophisticated modeling. To do that, this could also work for additional public hearings. So we, as the agency, made speculation and guesses about the permits that would be needed. Once Kiewit was in, we went back out to the public in a couple hearings and were supported by Kiewit to develop the actual construction techniques that they'll be bridge and get those permits in place. So the progressive design builder has been doing a lot of outreach, just to talk about a few other things involved with the Key Bridge effort. Engagement with industry to ensure we have sufficient and diverse pool of qualified firms. And our next in-person outreach event and engagement event will be focused on the DBE community. And we just posted this in the last couple days. So this is on February 3rd in Eastern Baltimore County, the morning of that day. So we've been supported by the Black Caucus and this event organized, and really want to get out, provide more details of what is needed from the construction community moving forward. For the design and engineering of the bridge, pre-construction activities will be taking place beginning in January, both on land and on the water over the next few months, as you indicated. On the water, just examples of what you'll see. You'll see some boats, small barges, and small cranes engaged in various activities, drilling, collecting soil samples, mapping subsurface waterways. We know that that surface was mapped many times. We saw that but we have to go into even further build for the build effort. Workers will be active on both as they carry out these tasks. And traffic disruptions will be minimal at this point. Not expected to significantly affect navigation on the Patapsco River. Next month, plans to bring three to the Board of Public Works, these management inspection contracts that are for additional oversight of that on the bridge activity needed for managing the project when it reaches the construction phase. Probably one of the more anticipated milestones, demolition of the existing piers that just planned for this spring. And we continue to advance the designs and those preliminary designs, and we hope to bring those forth to you and the power to engage with them on some of those design elements very near future. So please, for the public, follow us at keybridgerebuild.com, and we're also going to be on Facebook with progress reports. Thank you. That completes our
report. Love it. Great update and great transparency. This is fantastic. Thank you. Thanks, Director. And also please extend our thanks to our team and also to Secretary Wheeler as well.
Thank you. It's because of them, not me. So appreciate it.
I also just want to say thanks for the transparency. I think, you know, we all know that some bridges and roads are not required to come to BPW, but of course services contracts are. And it's great to see you proactively bringing things rather than us having to ask. So I really appreciate you bringing all the services contracts they're supposed to come them to the BPW. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Director. Thank you. Madam Comptroller.
That's it. Thanks. It's really impressive. It's exciting to get going. So thank you.
Great.
One more comment about a different matter.
Please.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. I just wanted to make a note about item 3GM, which is the MTA's contract for, it's a request from MTA to award two companies the contract for the purchase and delivery of more than 300 heavy duty locally operated transit systems, otherwise known as the LOTS. I think the LOTS are a very important part of our transportation infrastructure in the state of Maryland. Sometimes we need, and some officials around the state, it truly is a state a transit system and service, in part because it funds the locally operated transit system. So whether you're on the Eastern Shore, Western Maryland, Southern Maryland, places that might not traditionally, we traditionally think of having transit, people rely on the buses to get to grocery stores, to get to their kids, to go to doctor's appointments and whatnot. So they're a really important part of our transportation infrastructure. And this contract, I want to note, actually allows for hybrid, clean diesel, and other purchases, which will continue to decrease emissions as they replace older vehicles. So it's nice to see our LOTS buses moving towards to be greener as well. So thanks to MTA for bringing. Look forward to the continued on the state.
That's great. Is there any further discussion on the MDOT agenda? I have a motion to approve the MDOT agenda.
Motion to approve the MDOT agenda.
And there's that. Outstanding. Thanks, Mr. Thompson. Thank you. We'll conclude with the DGS agenda. Secretary Chaudhry, morning.
Morning, sir. Mr. Governor, Madam Comptroller, and Mr. Treasurer, for the record, I am Atif Chaudhry, Secretary of the Maryland Department of General Services. Today, the agency is presenting 34 items on our agenda, including expedited procurement. Our agenda does feature 10 capital grants and loans totaling more than $1 billion. I did want to highlight one in particular, and that's item 4 CGL, which provides $250,000 to Anne Arundel County government for the design and construction of 4 new pickleball courts at Lake Waterford. The project will include its fencing and retaining for the community. As we continue to keep an eye on minority business participation in contracting, feature 4 contract awards and modifications
by minority businesses
totaling more than $39 million. And we have agency representatives here. Questions you may have?
I was excited to see the 4 pickleball courts so I can finally figure out what this obsession is all about.
Yeah, you know what? What is it? And
that tennis court?
It's small. It's fun. The Senate president will take you out.
I get it. No one ain't afraid to go on the horse or something.
Thank you.
I also briefly highlight 6 CGL, which is a $5 million grant to the Pikesville Armory Foundation to support the redevelopment of the Pike. in 2021, a group of motions formed. This entity known as the Murray Foundation, division of turning an acre military campus into a that all Marylanders could enjoy all season. And once finished, this historic development will be athletic, cultural events, and walking paths, and public arts, and a town to be support to support Marylanders who both are in the area, and then people who want to travel to the area. And last January, the comptroller and I actually had
coldest groundbreaking.
It was so cold.
Amazing.
It was
really
supposedly
cold.
Indoor, but not. It was freezing. Beautiful.
It was.
And the groundbreaking of the project, where we have local and state, even federal officials to kick off. What is not just exciting, but also important to highlight, this is a veteran-led, community-driven development. And last April, this body approved $1 million in capital grant funding to support the Army redevelopment, in addition to other awards through the foundation, includes things like the Maryland State Arts Council, the Maryland Historic Trust, and the Baltimore Region Neighborhood Initiative. And we are pleased with this once in a generation opportunity to really revitalize and rethink this within Northwest Baltimore. And so partners definitely means the kind of work of the Pikesville Armory Foundation. With that, Madam Comptroller,
just a really exciting project. And so I'm grateful to be here and to be able to support it. And I just wanted to highlight just down from the Armory, their item 8CGL, to continue the design, construction, repair of the campus and the Park Heights campus for the Associated. And I see Howard from the BJC. And this is just a really exciting development in Park Heights as well. So we've got this great net between what's happening at the Armory, what's happening in Park Heights, and really building a strong continuum along that corridor is essential for community development and increased prosperity along that whole corridor. So it's exciting.
It is. It is. Amen, amen, amen. Is there any further discussion on the DGS agenda?
I just wanted to highlight one other item, which is towards the end and which might not have been noticed, but we noticed it. It's a request by the Department of Education, MFCE, to extend a contract with Deloitte, administer the Child Care Scholarship Program. I have no concerns with this item, but it gave me a hope to take a brief to commend Governor Moore and the administration for their ongoing investments in child care in Maryland. So childcare is not just a parenting issue, it is an economic issue. Access to affordable, accessible, quality childcare enables parents who want to work at home to stay in the workforce, and it provides jobs for many professionals working with our children. Fortunately, it's also a large and necessary expense for Marylanders. You know, in our State of the Economy report, which we published this time last year, we talked the correlation between Maryland's post-pandemic depressed labor participation rates, access to childcare. And over the last several months, my team at the Comptroller's Office sought to better understand Maryland's childcare industry and how investments in childcare can boost the state's labor force participation, especially for mothers with children. And that, of course, is our overall economic growth and success. The culmination of that work was presented in our Childcare and the Economy report. This follow-up brief State of the Economy series, and we released that just a couple weeks ago, and it provides a more in-depth analysis of the factors fueling childcare challenges in Maryland. One key finding identified is that relative to other states, very expensive. It's more expensive in Maryland, with tuition for center-based infant care accounting for 13% of the income for a married couple and 41% income for a single family. Fortunately, the expanded Child Care Scholarship Program is a component to addressing that affordability, and that program is what this item is. So I'm happy to make this data and analysis available to further the discussion on how to boost the state's labor force participation and develop solutions to support for Maryland going forward. our team, Ben Siegel, Danny DiPietro, among others, the Maryland Department of Labor and the Maryland Family Network produce this report, and look forward to continuing our analysis on these issues in the future.
Thank you. It's hugely important. Thank you.
Actually, I just wanted to congratulate you on an item that's not on the agenda, and that's this being opening day. I guess they had the grand opening already, but the legislative services building, that obviously is an integral part do down here. And what they do, that was a sorely renovation or reconstruction, I guess, as it stands. And I'm sure a lot of activities are going to go over there. Governor, I look, I'm going to the Brooke Lehrman wing. checking that out. It's just, that was a great job. That is, it's just a fantastic building. The employees deserve it, the public deserve it, and just a lot of great work off of that. Thank you.
No, thanks, Sharon. And it's actually built by the stadium of managing and taking over. Ribbon cutting is tomorrow morning.
Hey. Thank you, Mel. And
really well done, Mr. Secretary. Any other discussion on this agenda? And may I have a motion to approve the DGS agenda?
Motion to approve the DGS agenda.
And is there approved?
Just before we end, I just want to shout out and a thank you to Alex Butler, who's been a member of my team since I started and was here before us. He will be moving on to the Maryland Department of the Environment soon. So last BPW meeting, Jasmine and Tom, don't get any ideas. You're stuck with me. But thank you, Alex, for all of your work. Thanks.
Thank you. I'm glad you're staying in the family. This concludes the Board of Public Works meeting. It will be Wednesday, January 29th. Again, happening opening day. And it needs to try.
Off the record at 10:47.